Well, good morning, City Gators and friends. My name is Vic and I will be preaching today. I'm one of the leaders at City Gates. Last week, we ended off our series out of the book of Ephesians, that letter that Paul wrote to that church. And so we are about to start a new season. It's the summer, and so throughout the summer, we trust that we will be preaching through a book called Ecclesiastes. We won't preach verse by verse. We'll draw sections of that book out and we'll teach on that. There may be some one-off sermons during the summer that's not connected to that, but primarily we'll spend some time in Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes is an interesting book because the refrain all the way through this book is one of everything's vanity. You know, things are done in vain. It's kind of like, what is the point of it all? And I think we've gone through a season in the world where many people have asked this question, what is the point? And so it can sound very sort of pessimistic and very skeptical, but it's an amazing book because it actually searches for the big answers to the questions that we all have. And so I trust that even as a guest, as you journey with us through the summer, that this would be helpful for you, maybe as you are exploring not only Christianity, but you are wondering about these big questions of life. What's the point of it all? Why are we here? What are we doing? I know that this book will do you a good. And maybe you are in that category where you're exploring the big questions of life. You have some questions about your existence and why you're here. There's another thing that we do as a church. It's an experience called Alpha. We normally do it in person, but right now it will be online. We're actually launching that this Thursday, July the 2nd. It'll start at 7:30 and it'll run up to 8:45. It's an hour and 15 minutes where you, together with others who are in the same boat, exploring the big questions of life. We'll look at these things from a Christian perspective, but you don't have to be a Christian. You can come with your opinion and your perspective, whichever flavor that is. So I'd love to invite you to join us for our Alpha experience. You can go to citygates.ca/alpha, and everything you need to know will be there. Once you sign up, we'll send you a little resource as well to sort of set you up for that evening together. But please, if that is you, just come. It's no strings attached, so we won't do any follow-up. It is free. We won't bother you, and you can tap out at any time. But I know this will be a good experience for you if you find yourself in that season in life. So join us for Alpha online. Today I want to preach out of Luke chapter 10, just before we get into Ecclesiastes. These first 11 verses in this chapter, really, they've been on my heart for a while now. I kind of feel like it is a word that God has given to us as a church, a bunch of City Gators. And every now and then God does that. I remember a year ago, almost to the date, as I was paging through my Bible, I realized Psalm 144, a few verses in there, I felt like God impressed upon my heart that that is specifically for us as a church. And so I feel the same way about Luke chapter 10 as well. And if you're a guest here today, don't worry. I'm not only speaking to City Gators because we're reading from the Word of God, which is living and active. I know it will do you good as well. And it's in this particular passage where Jesus says the famous line, you know, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And it's no surprise to us that he says that because just a few verses earlier in the end of chapter 9, he actually talks about the cost of following him, of the cost of being a disciple. And so many, you know, one guy came up to him and says, oh, you know, I'll go wherever you go. And Jesus said, well, you know, I don't really have anywhere to sleep. You know, I'm kind of like a roaming wild animal. And then others said, no, I want to follow you. But they said, first, I need to do this or I need to do that. And Jesus kind of said, look, then you can't follow me. You can't say, first, I need to do that. I need to be first in your lives. And then he jumps into, or what we get to here in chapter 10. So I'd love for us to read that together. If you have your Bibles with you, don't worry. If you don't, you can just follow along on the screen. So Luke chapter 10, first 11 verses. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals. Greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it'll return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick in it and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. But whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into the streets and say, even the dust of your town that clings to our feet we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near. This is God's word. Pray with me if you can. Lord, we thank you for these words and help me to convey what I feel you are saying to us as a church through these verses for this next season that we find ourselves in. So I submit myself to you now, Lord. I ask for your Holy Spirit to guide my mouth, and I ask for every listener here today for their hearts to be open to receive from you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. As I mentioned, feel like this is something God is saying to us. Why is that? Well, for so many churches in this season, they've all been asking the question, what does church look like for us now? As we find it difficult to meet in person and we have various restrictions, what does the gathered church look like, you know, in a building? What does the scattered church look like out there where we find ourselves day in and day out? And you know, for us as a church, I feel like in these verses, there's a strategy for us as we ask that question, what does it look like for City Gates? But we also have an added complication. We've had some venue issues this last little while. You know, we used to rent the St. Francis Center. It's a Town of Ajax facility. And so as we know, municipalities are slow in opening up their buildings. And so we don't have access to our venue anyway, even if we could meet with the restrictions. This venue is also up for repairs, and so even July and August, it wouldn't have been available to us anyway, regardless of the COVID-19 situation. And so we've been knocking on some doors, and a door opened up for us to meet in a plaza, possibly, on the corner of Brock and Highway 2, and 401 and Brock. And I know I made the announcement last Monday at our prayer meeting that this seems to be a done deal. The owners, as well as the property, the facility managers, have pretty much given us a go-ahead. I was very slow in making the announcement. I said, I just want to make sure this is right. And they said, absolutely. But much to my dismay, and I feel like this is a bit of a habit. I've done this once already. It's a bad habit. I don't ever want to do this again. But I have to retract and say, actually, another partner, so there's a bunch of people that make decisions, they are unwilling to give that to us. And so what seemed to be very probable, very likely, has actually completely come off the table. And we even have things stored in there in the interim, and we're going to have to remove that, as they're not willing to give that place to us below market value. There's a lot of reasons that I won't get into it, but this is, you know, makes this sort of question of what does this look like for us to be the church, the people of God, into the season where we are uncertain in terms of where we one day will meet. And so I trust that you as a City Gator are paying attention, because I feel like God is giving us direction. As we've read through these verses, I can see that Jesus is reminding his people, he's reminding us, that it is still about God's people being sent into multiple places, instead of us necessarily thinking that it's about the church or God's people gathering in one specific place. Now, of course, I know the church gathered. In the early church, they gathered together. We will one day gather together again. So I'm not downplaying that. Right now, it's tough to do. But Jesus is, in these verses, showing us the emphasis is still on his people being sent into multiple places. Remember, one of our values is to be a strategic missionaries for Jesus. And so we believe that we are not just a group of people that go to a building. We don't go to church. We are the church that goes. And this chapter, these 11 verses, puts the emphasis on that. And so the first thing that we see here, and I'm going to try and stick with the S's today, is that the disciples were sent ahead and they were also right behind Jesus. Wait a minute, what does that mean? Sent ahead of Jesus, but they're still right behind Jesus. I love that this verse says that Jesus sent them ahead of him into the cities and the towns that he was about to go. So there's a sense that Jesus had these towns and cities, these villages on his mind already. He was there already in his mission. He knew he was going to go there, and he sent his disciples ahead of him, but he was ahead of his disciples in caring and having a concern for these places. Hope you can understand. They were on Jesus' mind already. And so maybe you're joining us today as a guest, and I want to say to you that if you are not a Christian, for example, the places that you find yourself in, maybe in your street or in your neighborhood or the gym that you one day will attend again or the school that your kids go to, I want to say to you that there very likely are Christians present in your street, in your neighborhood, in the places you hang out, that have been sent there by Jesus, in a sense ahead of him, because Jesus wants to meet with you. And maybe you're even joining us online right now because you have a connection with some of these Christians. And I want to tell you, that's how God works, is he works through his people and he sends them out ahead. And I want to say to you, City Gators, that is how important the place that you live at, the place that you work at, or the place that you play at, that's how important it is. It is a place that is very likely on the mind and the heart of Jesus, and you are there on purpose. You are there, you have been sent there ahead of him. He's coming. He wants to do something in those areas, and you are the tool that he wants to wield there. And then number two we see here is that serious prayer is a part of this deal. Earnest prayer. Jesus says, listen, the harvest is plentiful. Where you live, where you work, where you play, there is a harvest around you. People that are ready to respond to the gospel, respond to Jesus. And that is not the problem. The problem is the people that ought to speak and to be active there as followers of Jesus. And Jesus says, pray earnestly for laborers. And that's why, last time we prayed together as a church, we pray every second Monday. We're praying again tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. Go to online.citygates.ca. Join us in earnest prayer as we think about, Lord, we can't meet together, but we are scattered across this region as the people of God, as City Gators. We want to be those laborers. We want to earnestly pray that we would be the answer to those prayers that you have sent us out ahead. So serious prayer is required. Not just hands up, but hands in, like getting messy, getting involved, sharing the gospel and living out the gospel in front of others. I mentioned it already. One of our values is to be strategic missionaries for Jesus. We want to be those laborers. And so won't you join us tomorrow night as we continue to pray for our people and for ourselves to be those laborers where Jesus is, in the areas that Jesus has sent us into. I also love to see how Jesus shared the load. He said he sent 72 disciples ahead of them. We know who the 12 apostles are, the sort of main guys. We know a few of the other key players around them, some men and some women. We have names of them, but we don't know all 72. In fact, when I read my scriptures, it says that Jesus chose 72 others, so it may not even have been those 12. I don't know, but I love the fact that he shares the load. It's not just up to these 12 or up to the three, Peter, James, and John, or just up to him, Jesus. No, he delegates responsibility. He shares the load. And there's a sense no superstars, no one name that kind of bubbles to the surface. It's just like this crowd, these 72 people that he sends out two by two. And I think that is the philosophy, the ethos we want as devoted disciples of Jesus or to Jesus, disciples devoted to him. It's one of our values as a church, is that it's not about one person, one personality. If you're looking for a personality, you're not going to find it here. We're not trying to raise up personalities. We want to raise up faithful men and women, nameless and faceless in many cases, just faithful people who love Jesus and live out their love in front of others. And we want to be like those 72 that Jesus sends out, sharing the load, no superstars. Then, you know, small is obviously the 2x2 aspect. There's a 72 a number, but he sends them out 2x2. So kind of 36 maybe teams, maybe it was 36 towns and villages they went to, I don't know. But I think from this we can read, and even in the season that we find ourselves, we can agree that small is the new big. That doing things in a smaller way, you know, one location online, and our gathered groups, you know, we believe in the strength of taking a big group and making it smaller. And Jesus does that here as well. And it's these teams of two. And so again, it's not one on their own, but two together. So team is important. So I think of your small group, your community group, a bunch of people. Maybe you're a couple, you're married, or you're engaged, you're dating. Maybe you're a group of friends that you hang out with. That social bubble is not just a social bubble, it's a mission bubble as well. Think about you and your friends, the 2x2s, the 3x3s, the small groups. That is the means through which how Jesus is doing. It's not large gatherings as such. It's smaller, focused, localized, contextual, intimate moments. So small is a good way forward. It's a word for us. Simple is another one. He says, no money bag when you go out there. So in many ways, trust God. Okay, so there's a real dependency, a simple faith, not having anything extra. I love how when Jesus carries on talking with them, saying, wherever you stay, they'll feed you, because a workman is worthy of his wages. So as you pour your life out, God will replenish. As you share the gospel, he'll give you things to say. And so the simplicity of that, the trusting in him. So no money bag, trust God to provide for you in whichever way is needed. He says no sandals, no knapsack, and that really just speaks of excess. So of course they would have worn sandals, but maybe this is an extra pair of sandals or a backpack, a knapsack is what it refers to. So it's just that there's no excess, there's no extra stuff, extra baggage that they should carry. And mission should be that simple. I mean, maybe we can make this a bit more philosophical, but you know, people carry burdens of all sorts, and those burdens often can get in the way of sharing the gospel. Concerns, weighed down, worries, and there's a sense of Jesus saying, no, shed those things. My burden is light. My yoke is easy. When you follow me, it's the simplicity of following me is what people are longing for. We live in a culture where there's so much baggage, so much unnecessary stuff around us. You know, I even think of the trends, you know, the Amazon trends, as people found themselves at home just spending money on things online, you know, and just adding more things to their lives. And as Christians, I think even the discipline of living simply and this time that we've had to think about what do we own, what is important, what is getting in the way of mission, what is a distraction, what is feeding an idol, that an appetite in our lives that is not Jesus, that is not for him. And we've had an opportunity, we still have, to shed those things, because actually it does make us more, I think, ready for mission, for sharing the gospel. As people look at our lives and go, "What? Why are you so okay with so little, or a lot less than what I have? Why are you so happy with so fewer things that I have stored up in my garage or in my castle at home?" So the simplicity, and we'll see in a moment just how simple mission works itself out. Then I also see single-mindedness. You know, there's an urgency to them sharing the gospel or going to these places. Jesus said, greet no one. And it's not because he said, I want you to be a bunch of rude Christians and don't make eye contact with people. But in those cultures, and even today in traditional cultures, greeting was a time-consuming effort. You don't just say hi and bye. You know, for me, I know I run a lot and I walk a lot. And, you know, to make eye contact with another Canadian is often very hard. People sort of keep their own business. This was not, mind their own business. This is not the context that these guys found themselves in. Because you would often stop, you would greet. This would be a lengthy, distracting kind of moment. And so there was an urgency to Jesus sending them out, saying, be focused. And, you know, we think of our value of being devoted disciples. There was a devotion to the mission that these disciples needed to have, these 72 that were sent out. And not to get distracted by things along the way. And I just think of the distracted culture that we live in. And the most distracting thing that we probably have are these devices, our phones and our iPads. We struggle to focus on things. I listened to another a person this week, a podcast, a person who loves to read, but over the last 10 years, he says he's found it harder and harder to focus because his brain in many ways has been rewired by the devices that we hold up and by these instant things that are delivered to us. Making us so very distracted. I think of times when we ought to sit down and pray or read the scriptures, and so quickly our mind wanders. So we live in a time where we are very easily distracted. And Jesus is saying those that are on mission with him should be focused, should be single-minded. Let's practice that discipline. Then I see them being settled. He says to them, remain in the house that you arrive at. Don't move from house to house. Be present. I mean, that speaks of being relational. We found ourselves in our homes for a lot more than we are accustomed to, especially those who commute into the city to work or somewhere else to work, or our kids need to go to school. They've all been at home. And Jesus is saying there's something beautiful about being hosted by others. I can't wait for the time when we can open our home to start hosting again in a more permanent way. But that speaks of being relational, being present. I even think of being contextual. As you move into a town, he says, I want you to eat their food, the food in that home, the food that that town is accustomed to, that they eat there. And so there is a sense that we, as we are on mission in the areas that we find ourselves in, where we live, where we work, where we play, as we eat their food, we listen to their music, we play their sports. I know when I moved to Canada, I picked up a baseball bat. I was used to cricket and rugby, and I was like, I've got to get into the sports that they watch and they enjoy, that you watch and you enjoy, because it's all part of being a good missionary. As you go into the places that Jesus has sent you, as you embrace some of the cultures, you redeem some of what they have as a way of connecting, of building relationships. We can still do that even though we don't have a place to meet in. Because we are strategic missionaries. I talked to our leaders about loving like a local, and you may have seen Victim Durham Services, the announcement to help people in need, the food bank in Ajax that we partner with. These are all means for us to show that we're present, that our love is localized. We are here to stay. We are present. We are aware of the needs on the grounds where we find ourselves in. It's all part of being a missionary. And then Jesus warns. He says there will be setbacks. He starts off by saying, behold. and that's just Bible code for paying attention. Behold, I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. Pay attention. Don't be surprised when it gets tough, when there is rejection, because he talks about that. When your peace does not return to you and the town rejects you, wipe the dust of the town off of your feet. You're going to encounter that. As you follow Jesus into these places, you go ahead of him, people will reject what you have to say about Jesus, what you have to say about him. They will not think it to be good news. And don't be surprised when that happens. You are sent as a lamb among wolves. Not as a wolf. He's not saying kind of force the truth down or by force get the truth into their hearts. No, you're like a lamb amongst wolves, meek. And actually you extend the invitation, you invite people to follow Jesus. But you don't make them, that is up to them to respond to the gospel, to admit their sin and to humble themselves and accept the free gift that Jesus offers them. That is up to them. Your job is to, like a lamb, just meek and kind and loving, declaring the good news, sharing your own story of how you found Jesus. But setbacks will come your way. You will experience some of the sharp teeth of wolves around you. And Jesus is saying, that's part of the package. Behold, pay attention. These things will take place. And don't forget, lastly, that you're a statesman or a stateswoman. Because he said, even in rejection, he says, although you stand in the streets, I love that he's saying, make the proclamation of the gospel public in the streets. Don't like, okay, they're rejecting me and you hide away. He's like, get into the streets when there's rejection and say to, wipe the dust off your feet, fine, but say to them, nevertheless, he said, nevertheless, declare that the kingdom of God has come near. And I love that you are a subject of the kingdom of God, where Jesus the King, you're a citizen of His kingdom. You're a statesman and a stateswoman. And in many ways, God's kingdom has come near to your neighbors because of your presence. And of course, it's not you, it's God in you. It's the Holy Spirit that is in you. It's Jesus living His life through you by His Spirit that is bringing God's kingdom near to those around you. We can't meet in a physical location right now. We're doing it online. But wherever you find yourself, you are a statesman and a stateswoman. You have the King of Kings alive in you. And the kingdom of God has been brought near, even to those who are rejecting Him, because of your presence, because of God's presence in you and your presence over there. And He has sent you on ahead of Him. He is at work. He wants to do something there. And you are the means through which He wants to do that. Remember, we are Holy Spirit empowered servants like Jesus. You have the Holy Spirit in you. You could be courageous and offer to pray for someone, whether it's the sickness in their body or a situation in their life that needs turning around. You are a conduit through which God's power can flow. The Holy Spirit can flow. You are a Holy Spirit empowered servant. Go and serve locally as you are in the streets, in their homes, you know, enjoying the surroundings that where God has placed you. Be loving like a local, to use that term again. You are a statesman and a stateswoman. That's all I have to say out of this passage. Maybe there's one or two or six things in there that you could take to heart and you could apply as a City Gator. And maybe as a guest, you heard God speak to you and feel like, you know, Jesus is pursuing you. And I want to invite you to engage with us. You know, drop us a note. We'd love to answer any questions. Join us on Alpha this week, Thursday night. At 7:30 p.m. if you have some questions, we'd love to answer them. But this is all from me. I just want to say have an amazing week. I know it's Canada Day, so enjoy that day as we celebrate this nation that we find ourselves in. But let me pray, and then I'll be done. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. Thank You for Luke chapter 10. Help us to be these kinds of people, like those 72 that You've sent out, that in two by twos and small teams, we would be the ambassadors, the statesmen and women into the neighborhoods that You've sent us into. That we would be active in loving people on the ground. We would be people who are not shy, who don't shy away, even if we're rejected. That we would find ourselves in the streets proclaiming that the kingdom of God has come near, that God is not far, that God is near, that He's made a way for people to be brought back into a relationship with Him. And let us be the ones to declare that. We want to be faithful stewards of Your word. And help us to be earnest in prayer, Lord. Help us to continue to pray for these things. I ask this in Jesus' name.